Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
I sense that someone here, that this is the year that God wants you to give chase. He wants you to pursue something and to chase something. And he said, and I don't know what that is. I can't stand here and prophesy to you what you're supposed to be chasing. But what is it? What is it that you're dealing with? What is it that you've been believing God for, desiring to see from God, and you haven't seen it yet? That's you. You're to chase something, and you're to determine in your heart that you're going to chase it and pursue it until it becomes yours, until it becomes reality. That didn't help either, because I was like, how great, you know? So, and we leave there, and we go to get something to eat, and of course, we sit down, and I said, I'm going to bless this meal. And it was terrible, because here's what came out of my mouth. I said, God, I'm so sorry that I'm so miserable. I am sorry I'm miserable. I'm sorry I feel this way. And bless the food, God. Sit at the table with us. We welcome you into our conversation. May you be glorified in it. Period. I look up and Robin's looking at me like, okay. And I said, you know what? I'm not happy. And when I say that, don't think, what's not happy? Her marriage? No. My husband is the greatest blessing I know. So my kids? Nope. My household, something going on. We just came through Christmas. Wasn't Christmas what you wanted it to be? How about New Year's? Fantastic. It's not that. But something, and I don't think I have ever allowed myself to say that in the 18 years that I have been a Christian. Isn't it sacrilegious? I'm not happy. And the thing is, I tried to think back. When have I been happy? When? And it dawned on me. I thought, what does the Word say about happy? You know, well, we've heard it preached that being a Christian is not about being happy and having everything go your way and having everything be the fluff and the, and yes, the joy of the Lord is your strength, but happiness is different than joy. And so I thought, okay, what is this? And so in my mind, I start going like a Rolodex through all the happy scriptures I can think of. And actually, I couldn't think of a single one, except for I knew that in the Amplified Bible, I remember studying the word blessed. And that when you see the word blessed in the Amplified Bible, and Mary, if you could put up Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, enviable, to be envied, is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and their purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. Anytime in the Word you see the word blessed and the Amplified, you're going to see this. And what sticks out to me too is that not only is the word happy listed there, but bam, it is like all caps, it's in your face. Happy. Fortunate, prosperous, to be envied. And I thought, God, it's right there in all caps, happy. And you know, I know the word, the blessing is upon me and will flow to 1,000 generations after me, the blessing. But doggone, I want to be happy. And it's not that anybody's doing anything to me. This is no one's fault. So I'm like, what is it? So the Lord began to take me, Jacob. Jacob wrestled with the Lord. And that's in Genesis 32. And if you can put that up, I'll read it to you. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let you go, except that you would bless me." And he said unto him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Why is it that you want to know my name? Why are you asking that?" And he blessed him. He made him happy, prosperous, fortunate, to be envied. He made him happy. He made him blessed there. So what brought Jacob to this point? In order to know that, we need to go back. And today we're just going to have a Bible study, if that's okay with you. I'm just going to teach a little bit. We're going to go back to Jacob's beginning in Genesis 25. And I'm not going to put it on the board because I just want you to listen. Just listen, okay? If you want to write down the scriptures, but, you know, it's Genesis 25 through 30. I think 37 where it finally leaves off all of this. But Genesis 25, and it says, "And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children wrestled, struggled together within her. And she said, 'If all is well, why am I like this?' And she went to inquire of the Lord." A normal pregnancy, now this is her first pregnancy, but a normal pregnancy, we know the normal movements of our baby in there. We know when things are peaceful. In fact, when I delivered Emily, when I was pregnant with her, and they were testing me to see if I could handle being induced, she went ballistic in there. And that was just a test. And I told him, "The baby's moving so, like, thrashing in my womb." And I had to go home and lay down because she was thrashing around. And then the next day when I went in to be induced, she did it again. And she just was thrashing around. And I said, "Something is wrong. The baby is thrashing." And her heart rate just soared up into 200. Like, it was so high. And so I had to be immediately taken in for a C-section, and she had to be taken out. But you know the normal movements of your baby. So here's Rebekah, and she's carrying her babies, and she's overjoyed, I'm sure. All of a sudden, she felt this ruckus going on the inside of her. And she said, "God, if all is well, why is this happening? Why do I feel this way?" Okay? And I think that's really what I've been asking God. If I am blessed, like you've said, why do I feel this way? Why is it that happy doesn't seem to be something that's prominent in my life? Anyway, there are unusual movements. And I believe that right now, there are unusual movements going on the inside of all of us, if we really want to be truthful. Unusual stirrings from God. Unusual things, wrestlings going on the inside that's making us wonder, what is this about? What are you doing, God? Why do I feel this way? And he showed me how you could be watching, like, your favorite TV show, you know, everything's going good, you're, like, right there, and you're getting into the action scene, and all of a sudden, beep, 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 and this announcement comes on, and we interrupt this regularly scheduled program to bring you this public service announcement. That's what I feel like is happening. Like, we're just going about our business. We're doing our everyday things. Nothing is really significantly wrong. There's nothing to really put our finger on, but it's like all of a sudden, bam, in the middle of all this, I need to interrupt you right now because there's something you need to know. So this is what happens after she asked God this. The Lord spoke to her and said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be born of you. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bore them. Now listen, when you deliver two babies, I've never done it before, but from what I've saw and what I've read, there's time between two babies. There's an interval that happens, at least 15 minutes, okay? And it can be anywhere up to almost 2 hours between babies if they're being born naturally. And here we see that Jacob was right on his heels. That means he was without delay. He was not wasting any time. If what we're talking about here is not like an actual occurrence, if they're just saying this baby was right on his heels, or if he actually had a hold of him, there was no time between the two of them. The only thing to determine that one was older than the other was that Esau actually crowned and came out first, and bam, here comes Jacob, holding on to him, okay? But he was swift, and there's been different times where prophecy has come that God is going to move swiftly. Things are going to happen swiftly now. Swiftly, swiftly, swiftly. And Jacob was swift to take hold of what God has said. Okay? I want you to hear that. Now, I don't know if we realize or not, but why was this wrestling going on the inside of him to begin with? Because God formed these boys before their mom and dad even knew about them. They're in their wrestling, and this is going on, and she wants to know the definition. Define this for me, God. Tell me, God, why? Why? Show me why this is happening. Define this movement that I feel. And he tells her, there are two nations in your womb. Do we think that those babies didn't know what they were when God formed them? All our life we struggle, we wrestle, trying to figure out who we are and what we're called to do. But even then, and if you want proof of that, why would Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, when she sees Mary coming to her with a freshly conceived Jesus, bam, that baby's filled with the Holy Ghost on the inside of her, and she begins to prophesy. If those two babies in different wombs recognized the calling and purpose in one another, John said, hey, I know you. I was created for you, Jesus. I was created to do and to prepare the way for the Lord, to be the voice crying out in the wilderness, bam, filled with the Holy Ghost and moving around on the inside of his mama's belly. If those two babies did that, what makes you think Jacob, what makes you think that Tiara Marker or Doug Butler on the inside of his mama's womb didn't know, whew, this is what I was made for? He heard the whole prophecy. They knew it already before God even said it. They knew it because his word formed them. Quite literally, the word, what they were created for, formed them in the womb. And so they were already made with this specific word that we're two nations. So when he actually said it to Rebecca to help her define what was happening, it was just confirmation of what they already were and were already made of. So that's why they were wrestling. That's a big word. He didn't just say, there's a baby, decide what his name's going to be, call him Bartholomew. Call him, you know what I mean? God said he's a nation. He's a nation. And what has God said about you? And furthermore, he knew that God said two nations, the older is going to serve the younger. Why do you think Jacob had his heel? Oh boy, brother, you're not getting away from me that fast. And you know what? I think we do Jacob an injustice. When we say that he was a trickster or that he was a deceiver, when in truth, he knew who he was. In truth, you know what I think Esau knew too? Esau knew who he was, and he was trying to escape him. I will not serve you. You know, we can look at Esau, and we can have pity on him, but really, he was in pride too. He was trying to escape him and get out of there and say, no way, can't catch me. And so, you know, we do them an injustice. But Jacob, he was pursuing his destiny. He said, God, if you said this about me, I'm on the heels of it. There's not going to be any time between who I am and what you said. I don't want to be delayed in becoming what you've called me. And sometimes I think that's where we get fouled up, is that there needs to be a time that passes where we become mature in what he's called us. He wasn't ready as a baby to be a nation. He wasn't ready as a 10-year-old boy to be a nation. And moving forward, as the boys are growing, and if you look at it, this is Genesis 25, it says, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Can you put that one up, Mary? Genesis 25, that's verse 28. Let's read it again. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. You see, there's a little problem with that. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Does anyone see a problem with this verse? I see a big problem. It seems that Esau had an advantage over Jacob because he knew the love of a father. He knew the love of father. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Is love of venison? But I recall that's what that said. It says that Isaac loved him because he ate of his venison. So love is not of man's agenda or what man can get from you or what man can make you. Love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. If you can go back to a verse from Genesis, you see here it says, it says that he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Okay, Isaac loved Esau, but he didn't love Jacob. Rebekah loved Jacob, but she didn't love Esau. Is there love born of God? I want to know. No. It's not born of God. And the problem is that we get in this place that we find ourselves in all situations. People are born into all different things. We're born into sin. We're born into that, okay? So in our human fallen nature, our love is not perfect, like God's love is perfect. And our love doesn't become perfect until we know God and are born of God, okay? Born again. So salvation is going to cause our hearts to come alive with a love. We love because he first loved us. So that is what is going to perfect our love and to make it purposeful and to make it the right kind of love that will cause someone to flourish and grow and to become who they were called to be. Only that love. So we see here that there's an issue. There's an issue with love and what's going on here. And I want to show you something else, and I love this. Woo! This made me so happy. I found this last night, and I was like, whoa. And then I told Jackie, I was up wired with sound last night at 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep. I was like, Lord, help me. I got to sleep. But we see here, God is love. Do you know what? This little word right here, if you look it up, I want to tell you, one of the places, one of the things that it's rooted in is this word right here. Wrestle. Why would that little word right there that seems to connect the two, love to God, God is love, that causes this word to identify with the creator of all things and the creator of all things to identify with the one who is loved? Why would is mean wrestle? I thought, wow, God, hello. That concept alone. Now, just hold that thought if you can. Just hold on to that, because we're gonna go through now and keep traveling, and at the end we're gonna revisit that, okay? So about the birthright, we see here that, of course, in the beginning, Jacob was wrestling with Esau. And then there was still a wrestling going on as they progress. And so when they come to the place of the birthright, we know the story that Esau is in the field, and he comes out of the field, and he's like, oh, I am exhausted. I'm so tired. I need something to eat. I am famished. I'm so hungry. And he says, I'm starving, basically. Give me something to eat. And it's like Jacob is an opportunist, and this is why they think he's a trickster. But no, guess what? He's still on the heels of his destiny. He's still pursuing who he is, and he thinks this might be the time when God's going to make the transition, when he's finally going to become the nation that God has called him to be. So maybe this is it, okay? So let's not be too hard on him. And we want to look at Jacob and Esau and say that Esau was, number one, over-exaggerating. Number two, that he was foolish to let his appetite rule him. And then we see Jacob, and we want to say that he was deceitful, that he was an opportunist, and he was a manipulator, a schemer, and that he stole something. But as far as I can tell, right here, because you know what? You could sell your birthright. It was okay to do so. And so he stole nothing. It seems to me, fair and square, here comes Esau, give me that bowl of chili. And Jacob says, give me your birthright. And so it happened. They exchanged it. And it doesn't seem right, but in reality, these boys were just like their parents. I love it. They were learned behaviors. If we look in Genesis 27, Rebecca wrestles with Isaac. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son? And he said unto him, behold, here I am, or here am I. And he said, behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. Again, we remember, I love you if you feed me. I love you if you feed me. I love you if you do for me. I love you if you perform. Go perform and then come on back. Make me some savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat and that my soul may bless thee before I die. So listen, Esau even said to Jacob, I'm about to die here. Feed me soup. Give me something to eat. Sounds an awful lot like what Isaac just said to Esau. I got news for Isaac. He's saying, I don't know when I'm going to die, so I want to bless you. And he lives like way out in the future. I mean, years and years pass, and he's way out here still living. But at this moment, he was being Mr. Dramatic, Mr. Oh, you got to feed me or I'm going to croak. How much did Esau hear his dad saying that kind of thing? There was death in that man's mouth. And then Rebecca, here's Rebecca. She heard Isaac when he spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebecca spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard your father speak to Esau, and now's the time. He said, bring me venison that I may eat and I can bless you before I die. And now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. I want you to do what I tell you to do. And I want you to put on these little coats, these hairy coats. Here, I got some coats for you because you're going to need to wear this. I want you to go into your dad, and I'm going to make you up some venison, and I want you to carry it in there and present it to your father and say, here, Dad, I'm back. Here's your meat. I'm going to feed you so you love me. Not really. He didn't say that part. But anyway, he took it in and said, here's your meat. I made this. And Jacob had a conviction in his heart. And he said, but Mom, he's going to know I'm deceiving him. And he's going to say to me, you're not Esau, and he's going to curse me instead of bless me. And Rebecca says, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. I got this. I'm good at lying. I'm good at deceiving people. I got your daddy. I got him wrapped around my little finger. And don't you worry. You just do what your mama says, and everything's going to be all right. Because remember, I love you. What a mess. So he goes in, and he puts on the skins, and he takes in the savory meat. And you know what? It wasn't Jacob who was being the opportunist. It wasn't Jacob who was being deceitful. He was doing his mother's bidding, because when he did what his mama wanted, his mama loved him. He was just striving for love. Still. So, how many times had Jacob learned that behavior from her? He was still learning it from her. In fact, he was becoming expert. Because now the time, the rubber was meeting the road, and he was becoming expert at it. We see this here. Next, we're going to see Jacob wrestles with his father. All his life, Jacob wrestled. He goes in now. And he does what his mom is saying, and he said to his father, I am Esau. Before anything else came out of his mouth, do I need to come in to you, Tim Livingston, and say, I'm Stacy? Are you kidding? Okay, his eyes were dim. Close your eyes, Jackie. I'm Stacy. Now, I want you to say, I'm Shayna. That's Esau. I'm Jacob. Close your eyes. I'm Stacy. Do I sound like Shayna? Do you know my voice without seeing me? Would you know my voice if you were in the other room and I came in the building and I was talking? Would you know her voice? Silly. This is silly. He says, I'm Esau, your firstborn. Jeez. I've done according as you bade me to do. Arise, I pray, and sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Who is his Lord? Rebecca? I want to know. And Isaac said to Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son or not, my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto him, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him, and he said, are you my very son Esau? Again, he's questioning him. He wants to know. And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And when he came near and kissed him, he smelled the smell of his raiment. He smelled him too. Still wasn't convinced. I gotta smell ya. And he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over your brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curses thee and blessed be he that blesses thee. We see here that Isaac's weakness was his vision. And I'm not talking just about what he could see in the natural. He had no vision for his sons. He could not see what they were to become. He could not see it. So he was depending on his five senses. Okay? He questioned what he heard when he heard clearly. Then he went and felt his skin. He tasted the venison. And he smelled him even. All five senses. And the one that he could not rely upon was what he was seeing. This speaks to me that what we hear is more important than what we see. It's more important than what we touch and what we taste and what we smell. It's more important what we hear. And he was hearing God when he heard Jacob's voice. He was hearing God give him a gut feeling, give him a check in his spirit that something's not right here. But I want you to understand something too. If he was convinced he was blessing his Esau, if he was convinced, and I bet you, I guarantee Rebecca talked to him about what God said to her that those babies were in her womb. He was in defiance of God's blessing. If he thought that he was blessing Esau, should he not have said what was prophesied to her? Should he not have said the very word that created those boys and the womb? That these are two nations, they are two peoples, the older shall serve the younger. But no, he said, the younger's going to serve you. He said, everything that belonged to Jacob, he just gave to Esau. So he thought. But Jacob, again, he was wrestling. You see, this is Jacob's responsibility too, because he was dressing the part, he was cooking up some grub to give everybody around, to feed everybody a line, to make everybody think that he was blessed, when really something was going on the inside of him, this destiny he was pursuing, this thing that he wanted with all of his might, the thing that he knew that he was, that he needed to become somehow, it wasn't working, and he was wrestling. We move on, and all of a sudden, Jacob departs from his daddy. Woohoo, I got the blessing. Okay, here comes Esau. And Isaac starts trembling. Oh, my God, what have I done? What have I done? Because Esau comes in and says, I'm back, Dad. Cooked you up some grub. I'm ready to satisfy your appetite, and then you'll love me. And he says, it's not going to work. I'm so sorry, Esau, the thing that I've been doing to you all this time, everything that my love is hinged upon, you can't get it now with your venison. You can't get it because I just gave it away. I just gave it to Jacob, and I can't give it to you now. And Esau was so angry, and he cried and said, can you bless me at all? Just one thing. Bless me somehow. Behold, thy dwelling shall be fatness on the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword thou shalt live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when you have dominion, that you shall break his yoke from off your neck. What would that yoke have been? This isn't in my notes, and I'm just thinking about this. What would the yoke have been? It would have been that he wanted to break the wrestling off. Can this thing just be over already? Jacob was wrestling to be Esau, to be his older brother. He was wrestling with him for the place that God told him he was going to have. So he says, whenever you break his yoke off your neck, that's when it's going to happen for you, buddy. Okay? That's when you're going to have dominion. And Esau hated Jacob. And he determined in his heart, I'm going to kill him. I hate him so much that I'm going to kill him. But you know what? My dad's close to dying. The time of mourning is upon us. So I'm going to leave him alone for right now. But when dad dies, he's done. I'm after him. I'm going to kill him. So Jacob moves forward because Rebekah says to him, you can't stay here. Oh, boy, you can't stay here. You're in trouble now. Your brother wants to kill you, and I can't live without both of you. So I need you to go. I need you to go to Laban, and I need you to stay there until things cool off, and I'll call for you, and then you can come on home. Guess what? She never called for him. We never see that she called for him. And his dad never died in all that time. His dad wasn't dead, so Esau was still holding back from going to kill him. But we see here that he goes to Laban, and we know now he wrestles with Laban. What happens? He wants Rachel. He says, give me Rachel. And so he says, okay, work for me 7 years, and then you can have her. Then he goes in, and I'm thinking that when they would go into their wife, the wife wore a veil. It's the only way I can figure that he didn't know who she was. You know, I don't know. But she must have worn a veil when he went in to consummate his marriage with her. And then all of a sudden, when they come into the light of day, whoa, you're not who you said. Or your dad said, oh boy, I'm in trouble. And so he says, I asked you for Rachel. And he's holding on to Laban and he's saying, you're going to give me what I asked for. Don't you think he had that determination? Don't you think he still had a hold of the heels? And he said, you're going to give her to me. And Laban said, okay, I'll give her to you. So he wed her. He said, give Leah her time. Give her a week. And then I'm going to let you wed Rachel and then work for me 7 more years. So he did it. And so 7 more years pass. He's wrestling 14 years. Will it ever stop? And then Jacob's wives wrestle. Because God sees that Leah is not loved, sounds familiar, he loves her and opens her womb and gives her 4 boys. Bam, 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 bam. Here they all come. And so she says, I am blessed. Rachel says, okay, something ain't working out here. I got to do something about this. God loves her. He doesn't love me. Is that true? No. But they were operating in a man's love. And so God had to operate in their system. Okay? So anyway, she says, okay, here's my maid. Take her. Give me a baby. So he births a baby. And then next thing you know, here comes the second baby. And this is where she names him Naphtali. And she declares, with great wrestlings, I have wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. So we see here, now the women are wrestling. It's just ongoing. It's a mess. Can we just leave off of this? And then not to be outdone, Leah also says, okay, here's, do this again. Let's have more. And so, bam, one more baby. Bam, another baby. And this is what she says. She names him Asher. And Asher's name means, I'm happy. So are they done wrestling? No. So then finally God remembers Rachel and he opens her womb, okay? But she was scheming. So you see here, they leave off wrestling. And then Jacob wrestled again with Laban. He didn't want to give him what he owed him. He said, okay, I got my wives. We're having our children. All is well. And so let me go. And then Laban says, I'm not going to give you what I owe you. So he starts wrestling with him. And it seems like he is contriving. It seems like he is working things to his benefit. But no, what's really happening here is that he is determined that he's going to get back to where God said he could be. God said, I'm going to give you this land. This is where you're going to dwell. And he said, I'm ready to take my wives and my children and go back where God said I could be. And I'm going to have it. And so he did what he had to do. And he left. And Laban pursued him. But we see that they made an agreement that you won't cross this line and I won't cross this line to harm you. And so we know that God's blessing, because even Laban said, God blesses me because he blesses you. I don't want you to leave because I'm blessed. So we see here that Jacob, there's evidence that he's already operating in the blessing, but he's still wrestling, okay? Laban was happy, not Jacob. So moving forward, we see here that Esau's coming, and he's thinking, oh boy, this guy hates me. He's coming, and he's going to meet me, and his word was he's going to kill me. Had his dad died? No. Had things cooled off? Had his mom called for him? No. So he figured Esau was still in a rage, and he gets in fear, and he splits up his wives and children and sends half of them off to meet his brother to try to bribe him into peace. Please don't kill me. Here's everything. Here's half of everything. So that happens. And then we see that Jacob is heading toward him, and he sends his half across the ford, and he goes back and makes sure they didn't forget anything. But actually, he was going back because God was saying, it's time to meet your maker. It was dark. He goes back, and he can't see anything, most likely. But from behind him, I picture it this way, that God initiated, grabbed a hold of him, and he didn't know who had him, so all of a sudden, they're wrestling. So at some point, Jacob realized, who he was in a scuffle with. He wanted to know. So here they are. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me, make me happy, fortunate, prosperous, and to be envied." And he said to him, "What is your name?" Now remember, what did he say his name was when he went into his dad and wanted his dad to bless him? God didn't ask him his name because he needed to know. He needed Jacob to know his name. Okay? He didn't need to hear Esau. He said, "Jacob. My name is Jacob." He gave the correct answer. He quit lying. He left off. Okay? And at that point, he was a broken man. He had been touched in the hollow of his thigh. He was broken. He was wrestling. And guess what? The generations after him remembered this as the day that Jacob became broken before God, the day that God wrestled him so that he would identify as loved. And that is where the blessing flows, when we identify as loved by God, regardless of who else has loved us well. Regardless. And so we can't really expect the blessing to come from our pastors. They're powerless to do it. We can't expect the blessing to come from our father and mother, from our brothers and sisters, from our children doing everything right, from our husbands being perfect, for Christmas going well, having enough money in our bank account, whatever it is that we cling to and wrestle with, that we say, "I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to keep fighting this until you bless me, till you reveal that I'm blessed." No, God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to know that we're blessed because he loves us. And so if you're wrestling, just know that God is determined that you know that you're loved, that you identify as his son, as you identify with the word that formed you and made you. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."